Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on January 10th, 2016, and is entitled, Giving Honor and Esteem in 2016, Part 2.
Well, friends, let's go ahead and pray. Shall we do that together? Father, we love you. We want to thank you for the miracles that are around us. We love talking about you. We love talking about your word. We just enjoy what you're about to show us and what you're leading our church into, not only for us personally, but for our community and for our neighborhood around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, everyone. Well, once again, thank you. This is part two. Our message is entitled, Giving Honor and Esteem in 2016. That is our theme this year at Hope Chapel. You'll see the logo that has been developed. It's on the front of the bulletin, and it's also on the PowerPoint above me. So giving honor and esteem. It is a culture of care. We're wanting to care for people, but it wouldn't be really effective or beneficial if we don't focus in on caring or honoring God. The last time we were together, we were looking at what it is to honor the Lord. And I'm going to invite you, if you have your Bibles, you'll see it noted on your bulletin. But let's go to 2 John, almost to the book of Revelation. 2 John, just before you come to Jude. 2 John, it's only one chapter, verse 8. So as you take a look at that, matter of fact, it's near book of Revelation. How many know that study is happening this Wednesday with the ladies on Wednesday? Co-ed study at the Gallitzins for both men and women. On Thursday, that information's in your bulletin. So I just want to highlight that as well. A lot of great things happening. Let's look here. Here the Apostle John, he is 90 years of age, and he can say whatever he wants to say because he's seen it all, literally. He has seen Jesus. He has handled Jesus. He has faced persecution. He has been really put out on the island of Patmos. He's been brought in. He's now writing to the churches. But look at what verse 8 says. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Can you see that there? It's underlined, but go ahead and just say that, full reward. Yeah, we're opening the scriptures here today, and we're taking a look at our theme because we're highlighting what it is to honor people and to honor the Lord. So if John is saying, man, hang on to those things we've all embraced, we want to make sure you come to that point receiving a full reward. That means there could be the possibility of a partial reward or no reward, and that's important. And what we're looking at and we're drilling down is that for you and me, this year will be probably one of the greatest years for you personally because you have stepped into a greater reverence for God and a greater honor and respect for people and receive a full reward. So when you look at your bulletin, you can see, as also our notes, a full reward for those who value and respect others. How do we get that? There it is. We're going to see in Scripture what the Bible says about honoring God and honoring people. How about then a partial reward? That would be for those who are selective in how they want to esteem people. We sometimes pick and choose. You're not like me. You don't like what I like. And we have to be careful, and I do mean careful, even how we would make coarse joking about people, because that could actually bring a partial reward. We appreciate you're my friend, but let's just make crude jokes about one another. Watch out, watch out. And then we have no reward, and that's for those who treat God and His creation with indifference. So don't you think, isn't it interesting to note, John doesn't write and say, live in such a way that you get a partial reward. He says, man, you live in such a way, let's go for the full reward. And that's our drive this year. We are giving honor and esteem, a culture of care, because we are going for a full reward. So when we were together, we looked at the word honor, and in the word honor in the Greek is to me, basically, definitely the definition, a valuing. Or we can see others mean a valuable or precious, weighty, such as gold. And then it also adds appreciation or esteem, favorable regards, how about just flat respect. To dishonor, because if you're going to understand what honor is, oh yeah, I honor, to dishonor is very important, and therefore we've put that down in your notes as well. To dishonor means to treat as common or to treat as ordinary or to not show respect or value at all. Just, you know, blow right past that person or even not even consider God. Oh, he exists. He's that big guy in the sky. So when we look at that, it's important for us to recognize when we value something, we don't just stick it into our junk drawer. Isn't that true? Man, you really kind of put it on display and you take care of it. Therefore, it's important for us to recognize we want to value. And the Greek definition of what it is to show value or honor says it can be displayed in three ways. And this would be important, right? Because I know you're going to go and share what you've discovered at Mini Church and lead others into that and have a great relationship in the environment of small groups. So one of that is we can show true honor. Basically, it is done in action. It's also accomplished in word. But all true honor starts with the heart. It is in our thoughts. Thoughts matter, and especially with God. Because you and I can describe or display anything, but God knows our hearts. Jeremiah 17:10 says very clearly. So when we look at that, we saw in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, where the Lord said, therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and the fear or the reverence toward me is taught by the commandments of men. So it's important for us to recognize once again the importance of what it is to honor. Let's take a look here because we realize it's important, number one on our notes, honoring God. What does it mean to honor God? And why would we want to even bring that up? Because if we don't honor God, we might find ourselves in a partial reward or no reward. And we saw, let's look at Mark chapter 6, where Jesus talks about a prophet without honor. Can you find Mark's gospel? Let's go to Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. In Mark's gospel, Jesus is coming into his own hometown. Let's check it out, verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Now he's in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were what? Offended at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor. Everybody say honor. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So let's look here for a moment. Let's look at verse 5. This is the shocker for us. And he could do no mighty work there except that he lay his hand on a few sick people and healed them. Now, the Bible says he could do no mighty work there. Everywhere Jesus went in villages, man, people were getting delivered from demons and healed miraculously. He moved with compassion. Matthew 8 talks about that. But here, he could do no mighty work. Now, I could understand if the Bible says he would not do any mighty work. I understand that because he's sovereign. Whatever he wants to do, he'll do. But when we look here and we see so clearly that says he could not do. The Amplified Bible says he was not able to do any mighty work. Why is that? Except that he went around and he healed a few headaches, maybe some minor arthritis, maybe a little bit of back condition on people. That's all good, but no mighty works. Why? Well, we see very clearly that the results are in verse 4. It says, but Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. When we see here what restrained Jesus was a lack of honor. They didn't know who they had in front of them. Hey, we know this guy. We have his brothers here. We know who their names are listed here. We know his sisters. Hey, honey, isn't this Bobby's soccer buddy that we took to soccer practice? Hey, isn't this guy like a carpenter? Don't we have a set of his tables and chairs in our kitchen? Who does this guy think he is? And they were offended. No honor, no honor. And God could do no mighty work. That's important for us as a church. We're going for the full honor of God so he can give us a full reward. Now, what is happening here, when we looked last time we were together, we dove into Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 30. The setting, again, Luke records that he goes into the synagogue in his hometown. He opens up Isaiah 61, verse 1, he starts to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set liberty those who are held captive, preach the acceptable year of the Lord." What he was saying is, and he closed the book, "This scripture is now fulfilled in your hearing." What he was saying, "I am the Messiah." And it blew their minds away. Who does this guy think he is? No honor. Who does God think he is requiring me this stuff? No honor. And so what happened, you can imagine what was declared in these wonderful townspeople of his neighborhood. They were thinking when the Messiah comes, they just remember what they've read in Scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "Unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born." Government's going to be on his shoulders, and of his kingdom will be no end. They're thinking, man, we're going to have this amazing, warring, militant, conquering Messiah delivering us from Rome. Who is this guy? Play soccer with our kids and works with wood around our neighborhood. Who does he think he is? No honor. And so with that, he could do no mighty work. I think it's worth noting, too, because I've used this many times. God wants to bring you something you need in your life. And it comes in a package you just don't want to accept. I do not want this. And here we have the Messiah coming to a whole town, set at liberty. Yeah, I don't want it. So you must be prepared. If we trust God, man, just never know what comes across your desk saying, wait a minute. If God loves me, why is this being placed on my lap? This is so unfair. So when we look here, we've looked at a couple other things worth noting. When we were together, we were at Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Preachers' convention, all the Pharisees and religious leaders gathered around Judea. Man, they're coming on in. And Luke 5, 17 says, "And the power of God was present to heal them." But none of them got healed. No one. Why? Because in verse 21 and 22, they were offended when these little guys decided they're going to try to get their paralytic buddy healed, broke through the ceiling and brought him down, and Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." Who does this dude think he is? Oh, nobody can forgive sins except God. So the only one that walked away with a healing was the friend's buddy. Though the power of God was present at Hope Chapel to heal everyone. Power of God is present to heal you today. I believe that. I believe that. What would be the partial reward? Or maybe for some, no reward. We have to look at how we honor God, besides just saying, "I believe he exists." What is the extreme you and I go to honor God? If he requires something, or we feel it's the right thing to do, and may even cut across our pride, because we all have pride, we do. We just sometimes don't recognize it, but Lord, I want to honor you, even if it cuts across my own self-image. So it's important. And then we saw what was most intriguing to us. And that was a Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10. And here this outsider humbled himself and told Jesus, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Here's a Roman officer saying, the conqueror saying to the conquered, I'm not worthy to have you come into my roof. And he receives a full reward. And that's where Jesus says, I haven't found such faith in this dude in all of Israel. More faith. That guy had more. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. Isn't that true? That's what Romans 10:17 says. As we look at the word, faith's coming to you. That means, Jesus says, that man had more faith than John the Baptist. And I bet John the Baptist knew more scriptures than that centurion. He had more faith than his mother Mary or the apostles. Wow. But that's what Jesus said. And it has a lot to do with understanding authority and honor. But let's take a look at number two. How about honoring men? Three levels of human contact, and this is where we're going to really go a little further now. Because we are here this season of our lives honoring and esteeming one another. And I'd like you to go to Matthew chapter 10. Can you find Matthew chapter 10? And we're going to look at verse 40. I'm in Matthew 10. And we're going to see the three levels of human contact. We're going to hit another part of this, but it's certainly worth jumping right on into. Let's look at verse 40. Jesus saying in the red letter edition, if you've got that, he who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. Now, if you ever take a look at this and change the word receive to honor, that would be appropriate. We'll probably lay that up on the screen. We could read it this way, verse 40. He who honors you honors me. And he who honors me honors him who sent me. Verse 41. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's what? Everybody say reward. Reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man's shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Everybody say reward again. Because we're going for a full reward. And we're looking at how to honor. And Jesus is talking here, the three levels of human contact you and I will always be in contact with. Three levels. And how we handle and honor those levels are extremely important. So we look here, let's check it out for a moment. The first, in verse 41, a prophet, that would represent those who are over us in authority. Could relate to church, but that also would be, we could claim president, vice president, governors of the land. How about that? How about this? Number two, how about the righteous man, he says in verse 41. That's those who are on our level of authority. So you righteous people, you got righteous people around you? Yes, you do. Righteous in Jesus, on the same level of you. How do you treat them? I love the golden rule, don't you? Matthew 7:12, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them? The old King James. I learned it in Royal Rangers that way. That's the golden rule. How about the third level, verse 42, the little ones? That represents those who are entrusted to our authority. There it is. Those who are over us in authority. Those who are on our level of authority, your peers, and those who are entrusted to your authority. How should we honor them? It's important when we take a look at that because we come in contact with all that. And honoring each of these levels brings a certain reward from heaven to you. Do you understand? It's not just a theme that we're saying give honor and give esteem. I think we do that the best, but And it's a biblical principle and it's extremely important. And why would we want to show any honor or esteem to anybody? Because we do it as unto the Lord. Let's look just for a moment at Matthew 25. Let's slip on over to Matthew 25. Look at verse 40. Remember when they said, basically, whenever you have done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Matthew 25, 40. Matthew 25. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to who? You did it to me. So when we look at that, they're actually going to be shocked because in verse 37, they're saying, the righteous will answer him, answer God, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in and naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And then the Lord will say, the king will answer. And how many know God is a king? He is a true king. He's a true king. He is not a silhouette king like in Britain. He's a true king with a kingdom. So when he says, I will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So often you'll hear me just say, man, it's so great that you're serving the Lord. Can you find something to do to serve the Lord? Sometimes we get it, we don't get it, but here's the background verse for that. Whenever you do anything for the least of these, you do it as unto the Lord. And I really believe when we looked at Matthew, where he's saying you give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, what does the cup of cold water represent? Whatever needs out there. Does Hope Chapel have needs? Yes, we do. Does it look like we have everybody in a slot? We do, but there are always needs and always people just needing shifting and changing. And man, we do that as unto the Lord. So it's wonderful when we take a look at this. And so let's talk about those levels of authority and just kind of tap into, first of all, number one, those who are in authority over us. Let's just skim the surface for a little bit. Those who are in authority over us. When we look here, verse 41, right back at that, when the Lord says, if you honor a prophet, you're going to receive a prophet's honor, reward. Man, that's important. So when we look here, this basically, we could easily talk about that being church authority, but it also spans in three other levels of authority. That's important. Three other levels of authority besides church authority. And they're listed here on your notes. Can you see that? Letter A, B, C, and D. We'll just scroll them quickly on our screen. Civil authority. That would be our president, police officers, governors. Family authority would be the next one. That would be husband, wife, how children learn what honoring authority is all about. Letter C, social authority. And that would be teachers, coaches, people that are just out there helping work. And then number D, letter D, church authority. That's very important as well. Taking a look at that, we deal with church authority because the only place where it says that those who labor in the word of God are worthy of double honor, I think that's worth noting because we're dealing in a spiritual kingdom. So when we look here today, how wonderful it is because I like the fact, letter A, civil authority, we'll just conclude with this for today. But Romans 13, 1 through basically 7, 1 says all authority is of God. Now that's important for us to recognize. All authority is of God. Now that does not mean all authority is godly. All authority, that does not mean that. That does not mean all authority has good behavior. It's not saying that. Bible does say all authority is of God. God places those people around us. How we view that and how we honor the authority. We can look at the person's poor behavior and get really upset about that and withhold honor or respect. And that's usually how people react. You perform according to my expectation, I will bestow something of honor on you. But we are to look beyond the behavior and see the authority. That's important. Well, with that in mind, I'm going to welcome our worship team up. We want to worship the Lord in a song. Let the Lord set the tempo here. As we start to take a look at saying, okay, I honor God, but now we're looking at honoring people. Oh, that's powerful. And that's going to take us a slow turn because sometimes we haven't really seen that done and operated properly. I like it when people say it's a very loving church. I believe that. I've experienced that, and I thank God for you. But what happens if one of us don't perform up to expectation? We withhold that love or that respect. We're going for what's called a full reward, friends. 2016 is your year for miracles. For miracles. You might end up with a partial reward, maybe a few headaches, some backaches, minor arthritis, but let's go for the big ones. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, friends, what a great morning, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a loaded, wonderful year. But I want to highlight that verse we just sang, I trusting in your mercy, O God, that you will turn something beautiful in my life. Something beautiful out of me. Well, you just close your eyes for a moment. Would you take occasion? And Jim, do we have any words that would come forth? Okay, let's get those individuals ready. But if you need to say, Lord, use my life this year. I just feel more motivated than ever before to present my life to you. And I surrender my life to you as Savior and Lord. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Look at that. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead and put your hands down. Anyone else just say, man, just Lord, do something beautiful in my life this year. Just surrender my life, whether that's committing your life for the first time to Jesus or recommitment to God. Just say, I'm getting a clear picture of how I fit in the kingdom dynamic of God while here on this planet. I am called of God. Do something beautiful out of me, Lord. I'm going to lead us in a corporate prayer out loud. And if that is you and you raised your hand, wonderful, please pray that with confidence. God hears your heart more than your voice. Let's all pray this out loud. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I give my life to you. I surrender everything, both the good and the ugly. Forgive me, O Lord, for my many failures. Wash me clean. In the name of Jesus, I welcome you, O Lord, into my life to make me the kind of person you want me to be. Change me, O Lord. Direct my life. May my life bring glory and honor to your name. May you receive fame and all credit for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, fantastic, friends. There was quite a few hands that went up, and I thank God for every hand or heart that lifted up. And I would just say, too, if you gave your life to the Lord for the first time, let's make sure we get a Bible in your hands. And you'll find one of them, if not here on your way out, definitely at the Welcome Center. And we're thrilled for that. I saw at least 13 hands, maybe 14 hands, but thank you. Well, let's just hear for a moment here, and let's go ahead. We'll applause the Lord. Shall we do that? Give the Lord credit. You just permit us just for a moment. Jim, do we have some words that you felt the Lord give? Let's bring those individuals up.
Yeah. The Lord, as I was coming in today, the Lord all of a sudden gave me a word. And the word says this, compare, compare, compare. I said, Lord, what does that mean? And he says there are many of us in a circle. We can't get ourselves out of it because we're comparing ourselves to people next to us, to things that are around you, friends, people. You're idolizing things that you shouldn't be idolizing. You're comparing your worth to other people, and you're comparing yourself. And the psalmist says to you, who can be compared with the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high? He stoops to look down on the heaven, on the earth. He lifts up the poor and the just and needy from the garbage heap. He sets them among princes, even the princes of his own people. He gives the children, the childless woman, a family and makes her happy mother. Praise the Lord. And he continues and says, praise the Lord. Yes, give praise, O servant of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, now and forever, everywhere from the east and the west. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
For the Lord is high above the nations. His glory is higher than the heavens. So as you see yourself caught in this circle, allow the Holy Spirit to take you out and go to the King, our Father.
Amen.
He will praise take God. You out, and you will stop comparing yourself. Because he has a wonderful life for you. He has
Amen.
A wonderful plan for your life. Do not compare yourself. The Lord says, stop.
Amen.
Don't compare yourself with That's other people.
Praise
the Lord.
Praise God. Hanya, come on
Thank
up
you.
Here.
Thank you, John. That's a great message of the importance of humility and how we're to humble ourselves before the Lord. And it
Praise
just
God.
Flows in line with the whole honor and esteem theme that we're working with.
Oh, very good.
Yes, this morning in prayer, the Lord says he is bringing joy to this church.
Yeah.
And in John 15, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. And in Joshua chapter 1, it talks about the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we want strength, and we tend to want to do it all by ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. So, Lord, let it be.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's give the Lord a clap offering.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, friends, thank you. We're going to send you out to that wonderful glowing sunshine out there with free donuts and coffee. We do have individuals that are here for prayer. They're ready to receive you, to pray over you. Let me just pray off a quick blessing, especially for our treats. Father, we love you. We pray your continual goodness over those who have consecrated their lives to you today. May they get firmly planted here at Hope Chapel and find a newness that they've never experienced before. Lord, be glorified in our approach to you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, friends, we'll see you outside. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.